Taking a ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, ride with me is my homeboy, Mr. Patrick Irvin. And remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. So go to the website, www.pactsinc.org, peruse through the website, check out the codes of conduct, learn more about the actual organization, how you can become a member or donate to the organization, get more involved, and hover your mouse over the More tab, and there's a lot more resources coming up, especially at Learning Center. So once again, that's www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to learn more about myself, Patrick, Enigma September, and the plethora of shows that we got going on Monday through Sunday. So once again, it's www.freedomtrainradio.com because we are the number one podcast network, the number one pro-black podcast network in the world. And if you don't know, now you know. Ain't that right, Pat?
Sucker, bitches. Oh. yeah, that's right.
yeah. Because we telling y'all suckers. But,
bitches,
man.
Sucker.
What's been going on with you, man? It's been good, man.
Man, you know me. Still the same OG with a pillow. Hated on by most East with nope and nope and nope. With no, oh no, that's the clean version.
Hey, coach, ain't nobody ever heard that.
That's the radio.
Hey, man.
Edit for little kids.
Hey, man, you know, this podcast, so you say them words. Say them words.
Nah, you know, because I don't know them, but you know.
anybody want a motherfucker?
I know that one. Come see,
yeah,
I who, me, T. Double D, that right,
nigga,
me.
Nigga,
God damn it, I said it out motherfucking minute. Hey, what we got?
What talking about? Hey, man, so we got three topics, but before we get into them, I want to give a shout out to Jay-Z, to Hov for reaching the $1 billion mark.
For what? No.
I just did it.
Well,
for hip-hop,
it's gonna
baby.
It's going to be chased by my nopes forever.
For hip-hop, baby. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? It's just, for me, for hip-hop and for cats who come from the hood, even though I wouldn't recommend him doing everything he did, because he did a lot of stuff that, you know, a lot of people don't agree with. Of course, we don't agree with, but, you know, he did reach that mark. So just kind of quick shout-out to that. So, and then, hey, are you going to watch the When They See Us about the Central Park 5 on Netflix?
Honestly, I had planned on it, and I'll tell you why. Because outside of Selma, which I do think was a pretty good movie, a well-made movie by Ava, I wasn't that impressed with 13, and I haven't been that impressed with most of her documentaries and docu-series and stuff like that. Like, I just, and I'm not saying that she's bad at it. I'm saying that she doesn't make stuff for me. Kind of like you said about The Fix when you were after your rant today.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't plan on watching it simply because a lot of the times she's covering things in a very shallow and superficial way. And I don't feel like I'm going to learn anything new from it. And I'm not in the mood to be, I'm just not in the mood to experience anything that I don't feel like I'm going to learn from.
Yeah.
I haven't planned on it.
I as of right now, I'm not gonna watch it right now. For the simple fact, for one, you know, I don't want to be all mad at white people.
Yeah.
Anymore than I already.
Our line group talking about that with D. Steezy, right?
Yeah, I don't want to be mad at white folk any more than I already am. But also, you know, I do want to encourage people to do their research on the situation, because you know, people have been talking about Central Park 5. But I've been hearing people talk about it for at least last year. But the documentary is kind of busting things wide open. I think one of the cool things that come from the documentary is a lot of the white folk who worked to help get them locked up. People are now going after them now where actual real things happen, besides maybe losing jobs or something, we don't know. But, you know, people are going after them. So
but I feel one, you know. I feel like going after them 20 years later is kind of like, not only do I feel like it's a waste of time, not only do I feel like you don't even know who these people are, what they're doing or what they've been doing or how they feel or anything like that, but you know, I also feel like the way we go after people creates problems long term, because it's kind of like when you take a dude out of the hood, you take a dude, right, and you lock him up for selling drugs, you take his livelihood away from him or whatever the case might be, and you limit his ability to do anything else. Well, what happens to that person? First off, he's mad. He's upset. He develops a grudge against the system and the people that locked him up. Second off, you take his ability to make a living for himself through any legitimate means. So in the case of a black person, you're basically sending them back out into a life of crime with a chip on their shoulder towards the system. In the case of white folks, you're essentially creating future white supremacists.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how I feel. But even to that, like, because I heard about the prosecutor getting fired from a couple of her nonprofit positions and a couple other nonprofit organizations distancing themselves
from her. Right.
And I'm not in any way saying that, you know, what's happening to her is wrong, because I don't think that it is. But I do think that it's a little bit fucked up for it to happen 20 years after the fact. And we don't know, we just don't know what the long-term repercussions of this are going to be. We could be, in the way that we're doing things, creating the future white supremacists that are going to be terrorizing our children and our grandchildren. I would rather us focus on doing what we need to do so that the next Central Park 5 never happens. Not being mad at white people and trying to fuck them over.
But that's one of the things that I would want us to do, and that's why I kind of brought that up as well, is because I don't want to see us continue doing the same things over and over and over again. You know, I want to see us take different strategies, different tactics and things to protect ourselves, protect our youth, protect our women, rather than, you know, just trying to get people fired. Like you say, getting them fired is not going to solve the issue. It's a moral victory.
Right.
And
right.
We have to stop reaching for those moral victories.
Two time for the people in the back. And that's really, because when I say what I say, I know people misunderstand it and they think I'm trying to get these white people to pass. And that's not it. If a white person deserves to be fucked up, by all means, fuck them up. But at the same time, don't mistake a white person needing to be fucked up from a moral victory that has no real meaning or bearing on our community moving forward. And it's been 20 years. The lady not even a prosecutor no more. Getting her fired from a nonprofit doesn't really do anything for the community except make us feel good about what happened, and even that's only a temporary emotional state. So it really, so there's nothing really happening there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's not really going to change things. So we have to be able to look at it like that. We got to stop just taking the crumbs off of the table when it comes to a lot of things that are in the community, because these boys, well, they're not boys now. They're grown men. Their lives were destroyed.
Right.
And if something like that equally isn't going to happen to not just two people, but all the people who got them locked up, then, you know, I don't get it. A temporary high is never going to change the situation.
And
that's one thing we got to look at.
the other component to that, before I know we got to leave the topic, but it's become an interesting topic for me, is, you know, we forget about the role that Donald Trump played in those boys.
Right.
Going
right.
through what they
right.
went through. So you
right.
want to get her fired and go after her 20 years later.
But still, I look at Trump because he changed.
Right, right. Where's all of the where's all of the black protests against Trump? Where's all of the black people really pushing to get Trump impeached? Where's all of the black people really, really, really causing an outrage? And I know there are people out there that are talking crazy about Trump. I know they are. We know they're out there. But most of those people, if we're being honest, are liberal white folk. The vast majority of the black people that I know, the ones, especially the ones that are fired up about this When They See Us docuseries, they disagree with Trump and they think he's a horrible president, but they're not vocal and they're not trying to create no smoke about it.
Yeah. Nah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I want to – we have to focus on making sure that we're safe. As long as we're behind enemy lines, we still got to be safe. And if we ain't safe, then we tripping. So – I mean, we can't, you know, us getting those women fired is just like, you killed my brother and I spank you. I just give you a spanking on the wrist. You know, that's not going to change.
It's a whole system at work. And so you look at what happened in the system and you try to make sure that the people in the system nowadays, and I know some people would say, well, yeah, but by making her pay the price now, we're potentially making current prosecutors think about. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. That's not. That's absolutely not what's happening. The only thing you're doing right now is giving black people a temporary sense of accomplishment and giving white people more ammunition to use against black people and Democrats as they continue to grow the radical right or the racist right movement, the alt-right movements. That's all you're doing. Because these prosecutors out here, they're not worried about some shit that might happen 20 years from now when they make the decisions that they're making nowadays. We know that prosecutors and politicians ain't thinking that far ahead.
Right. I'm sure they're prepared for any type of backlash, but whatever, we're moving on. So our topics for today, we got three topics. We're talking about the nuclear coffin that's in the Pacific on the what's the name of the island? The Marshall Islands. Yeah, the Marshall Islands. The nuclear coffin that is housing leftovers from a nuclear test that the U.S. did in the 1950s that is leaking waste into aquifers. To aquifers, rather, and the next big storm could crack that wide open in the Marshall Islands and wreak havoc in that part of the Pacific. So we're going to talk about that. I want to talk about the Malia Davis case, give you the latest and updates. And for those who don't know, but kind of sew it up, give our thoughts and things on the Malia Davis case, as well as Gilead Sciences is under fire, and there's a break. There's a hashtag. It's hashtag break the patent, and Gilead has monopolized a patent that was created either by the government or the CDC. I read several articles that said some say the government created the patent, some say the CDC created the patent, but Gilead has a monopoly on the patent for the drug Truvada that is used for PrEP, which is the pre-exposure prophylaxis that will help stop the transmission of HIV from one person to the next. It takes between $6 to $8 to get this drug made, but Gilead is selling it for like $2,000-$3,000 and making a hell of a around the world. It doesn't cost that much, and so there's a lot of debates about it. There's a lot of controversy around it. There's a lot of people getting involved. And like I said, the hashtag is hashtag break the pact. So we're going to get deep into that. But let's start off with this nuclear coffin. That's what they're calling it, a nuclear coffin. So in the 1950s, the U.S. was doing nuclear tests on certain bombs and things after, this is after Hiroshima and Fukushima. So, and So the nuclear bombs that they were testing, specifically in 1954, was a hydrogen bomb that was called the Bravo hydrogen bomb, and it was 1,000 times more powerful than the bomb dropped on Hiroshima in Japan. And so the United States conducted 67 nuclear weapon tests between 1946 and 1958 on the Marshall Islands. So they said, let me read this to you. The extensive nuclear bomb testing blanketed the islands in radioactive ash, covering it in the fine white powder-like substance. Children unaware of the radioactive ash was, they played in the snow and ate some of it because they thought it was snow, and that's according to the Atomic Heritage Foundation. So you got in the 50s, 1954, children going outside, wallowing, making snow angels, snowmen, eating what they thought was snow, but it's really ash from a nuclear bomb that spread like, I think they said 7,000 miles or 12,000 miles away from the blast site. And that's what the U.S. was doing in that area of the Pacific Island, like the central and south Pacific. And so this article from Forbes is saying, today there are growing concerns that the temporary containment of the nuclear waste resulting from those tests is leaking into the Pacific Ocean, and the coffin could be cracked wide open when the next storm comes through. So they sealed it with like a concrete, from the top to the bottom, tried to seal this bunker, because they used the old bunker to seal the radioactive byproducts. And one of the main byproducts is plutonium-239. Now, if you watch Family Guy, you will hear Stewie talking about plutonium-239, which is one of the most toxic substances ever. And it has a shelf life of 24,100 years. So in 1977, the U.S. worked to clean up the radioactive waste left across the Marshall Islands. And it was an estimated 73,000 cubic meters of radioactive soil that was collected across the Marshall Islands. The U.S., like I said, used the crater from an especially large nuclear bomb test on Runic Island to stash away the radioactive soil. The 328-foot crater was from a May 1958 test site, and it was a dumping ground for the nuclear waste. So they... the material was piled in the crater, and an 18-inch concrete dome was positioned on top of it as a temporary containment. And nobody has really did anything to it for the last 40 years. And in 1983, the Marshall Islands basically severed their ties with the United States, so the United States didn't necessarily rule the Marshall Islands like they did in the past. But when it severed its ties with the U.S., it released all responsibility from the nuclear testing. So anything that was left for the cleanup and all that was left to the government of Marshall Islands, who still to this day don't have the means and the money to rein that in, to clean that up and to get rid of that. And so with the rising sea level, the soil shifts and storms and all these things, global warming, that is damaging, further damage the integrity of the nuclear coffin, what they're calling it. And basically, it's starting to crack, and the government fears that the next big storm may split the dome apart. So it's already starting to leak, and to leak into, like I said, aquifers and into the ocean. And people are, the Marshallese government, they are worried. And I think, you know, we always, on this show, we always like to bring people up to speed and talk about things that impact our environment. And this is one of the most irresponsible acts that the U.S. government has done in its time. And the U.S. government has done a lot of irresponsible things. And so to create this, first of all, to be doing this nuclear bomb testing in areas where people live. So I know one article I was reading that said they made some people evacuate the areas, but they didn't calculate or account for the spread of the nuclear blast. And like I said, you had people playing in it because the blast went farther than they expected. And now 40, 50 years later, this is still an issue, but the U.S., they're free of it. And the Marshallese people got to deal with it. But if it gets into the ocean, everybody in the world going to have to deal with it. And that's some bullshit. What's your thoughts on that, Pat?
Well, I do think it's a lot of some bullshit about how this whole thing went down. Even in terms of the hydrogen bomb or the bomb leaving a crater, and then they basically filling the crater up with nuclear waste, and then they covered it with an 18-inch thick dome, and then told people that it was okay to go live there again. That, like, let's start there. That's just fucked up on a whole bunch of different levels. But then, you know, with the dome cracking, and it was Hiroshima and Nagasaki. My dog
right.
know what he talking about. He just got twisted up. You said Hiroshima and Fukushima.
I think I was reading something earlier about Fukushima.
No,
I think that's why.
Yeah,
No. That's right, because we talked about the Fukushima nuclear fallout.
Yeah,
Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That's
yeah.
Right.
I know he know what he. As I said, my dog know what he talking about, so don't come for him. But
right.
Fukushima is relevant, especially when we start talking about plutonium-239, because plutonium-239 is also one of the waste products from the Fukushima nuclear spill, the nuclear incident in Fukushima, the Fukushima nuclear reactor. And
mm-hmm.
like you said, plutonium-239 is one of the most toxic substances known to man. You know, and it emits alpha waves, alpha radiation, which isn't necessarily as bad because it's larger particles, and the skin can stop it. But if you breathe it in or you drink it in the water or something like that and it gets inside of your body, it can wreak havoc. You know what I'm saying? It can really shut shit down. And it would only take a little bit to do it, because those particles would then start causing damage to your cells on a molecular level, and you would also have damage to your chromosomes, to your DNA. You would basically start to just fall apart from the inside out. So
yeah.
It's extremely toxic, and this is all extremely dangerous, because if it gets in the water, then it's going to get in our food supplies for people that eat a lot of seafood. If it's leaking into an aquifer, then people are potentially drinking it. The other component would be is that if it gets into the water, you have a risk of it traveling through the clouds and then finding its way into other aquifers. So, and I'm not sure how great that risk is, because I know alpha particles are some of the heavier particles, but I do know that those particles aren't much heavier than helium, so they can potentially turn into vapor and travel. So you got a lot of different things going on here that are extremely concerning that we should be paying more attention to. And we've talked about this before, Joe. We've got to figure out a safe and stable way to store nuclear waste and
right.
or do something with all of the nuclear waste that's been created over the past few decades. We know we can't launch it into outer space because we aren't necessarily that good at getting rockets out of orbit or out of out of Earth's gravity. So
the last thing you want is a failed launch and
right.
it's everywhere. Yeah.
You don't want a failed launch of a rocket filled with nuclear waste. That's not what you want. So you don't want to store it in water, obviously, which is something that they have done. They filled barrels with nuclear waste and dumped them out into the ocean, which is why people are now raising the flags about radioactivity in the ocean and seafood. Obviously, a lot of the methods they use to store the waste, because this concrete dome wasn't even lined. That's why it can crack and the stuff can seep out. It wasn't even lined and made safe for a nuclear waste storage facility. So we've
right.
got to figure something out to do with this nuclear waste, and I think that's something that we've got to do, like, immediately. We talk about global warming. Figuring out what to
right.
do with nuclear waste needs to be the very next step, especially with the increasing prevalence of nuclear reactors for energy. I'm done.
No, but seriously though, like this, like I said, this is one of the most irresponsible things the United States could do, because when they severed ties with the Marshall Islands, like I said, they basically absolved themselves from all responsibility from all the testing that they did in the Marshall Islands over that 10-year period. And so they're left with the fallout from the nuclear testing and to deal with the waste. People are going to die. So we got what's going on with the Marshall Islands, and we got Fukushima going on. Now, because think about it, like the Pacific Ocean in a minute is going to be tainted, even way more than it already is now. And we still, like here in Florida, especially in the Gulf Coast, we were already dealing with red tide for a bit, a little bit before the governor's race. So during football season last year, we're dealing with red tide. And that's years after the oil spill in the Gulf. So, and I'm going to use the Gulf of Mexico as perspective for a lot of people to kind of bring it around. So we eat a lot of seafood around here. I'm an hour away from the Gulf Coast and 2 hours away from the Atlantic Ocean. So we eat a lot of seafood around here, and we depend on fresh water and salt water, marine life, to be able to eat. So if this, let's say this was happening over here in America, in somewhere in the Gulf Coast, let's just say we put some islands in the Gulf Coast and things were happening like that, we wouldn't be able to consume seafood, and a lot of people will lose jobs, businesses will close, a lot of people will be dying, because not only would our seafood be tainted, the seawater is tainted, but like you said, it was getting into the aquifers, so our fresh water is tainted. So because we rely heavily on our fresh water in our streams and things for drinking water, as well as to eat the food, so crawfish and other different types of fish and things that we could find in the fresh water, as well as the salt water. So it will greatly dampen the seafood industry anywhere in the area of the Gulf Coast. We're talking about from Florida on over to Texas, and probably even not knowing how it would contaminate the grounds and things like that. So that right there could potentially, and no, fuck that, that would damage crops. So we wouldn't be able to eat seafood, we wouldn't be able to plant and grow things, so agriculture would take a hit. And we would be totally dependent on government-aided food and genetically modified food and things to be able to live. And think about it, like, it's already hard to find a watermelon with real black seeds. So imagine having all of this going on. So like I say, just using the Gulf Coast as perspective and what's going on in the Marshall Islands right now. If this was going on here in America, people would be dying. So you can imagine people would be dying and getting sick. And if not dying already, getting sick and potentially dying because of the amount of nuclear waste that's stored and the next storm that comes. Because global warming is real and these storms have intensified, the next storm that comes through could crack that cap on that bunker. It could crack that, and things are wide open.
Yeah, and you know, people keep in mind the Marshall Islands is a part of that stream of islands that people love to visit, right around there by Fiji. It's a good bit west of Hawaii, but you know, it's north of Fiji. You got the Solomon Islands right there, Papua New Guinea. So it's over there in that area. Guam is over there, I believe. It's over there in that area that people like to visit, like to go on vacation along these string of islands, go island hopping. So it's not like we're talking about some odd area out in the middle of bumfuck Egypt that nobody ever goes to. No, it's like if you like to take trips and you like to visit the oceanic cultures, and you like talking and figuring out and being in that part of the world and blah, 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 this could potentially impact you. Hugely.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're not going to be doing a lot of things that you thought you was doing over there. So it's a lot of people who really won't be able to visit those things. And we know that could potentially affect rich white people. And if one good thing could come from rich white people being mad about that is somebody might actually think about doing something.
Yeah. That's true.
So, because, you know, if rich white people say something, they'll do something about it. So.
That is true.
Yeah. But it's so fucked up and so irresponsible for the U.S. to create this catastrophe and just leave it. Oh, yeah, this is y'all mess to clean up because, you know, why should we clean it up? We don't own y'all no more.
Right.
Like, come on, man. Come on,
all that fuck shit. Yeah, the U.S. has a long legacy of fuck shit. It's really pretty funny how we get to how the nation gets to stand around on this sort of moral high ground with the rest of the world when you look back at our history and all of the fuck shit we've done. And it's not even like, you know, because every nation has some fuck shit in their history. But the United States doesn't even take steps to repair the damage from its fuck shit appropriately.
Right. Right. It just be like, well, it ain't our business no more, so fuck it. Y'all go ahead and take care because it's on y'all anyway, so it ain't on us. So okay. Like, come on, man. You can't operate like that. Especially if you, like you said, especially if you were going on this moral high ground about, you know, lying how you the greatest nation and this and this and that. But when people really pull back the covers, you see, man, this is a messed up group of people right here. Like the United States. The United States is far from being the greatest country.
Yeah, I mean, you got people talking cash shit. You go back to what's happening in Venezuela right now about how the United States is all like, yeah, well, that election wasn't valid because there was political coercion going on and candidates were being forced out and people were being forced to vote this way and the ballots was rigged and this, that, and the third. And, you know, just making this big old stink about it. But the same shit happens right here in America. You know, you talk about North Korea and the evil dictatorship type shit that they got going on over there where they're killing people and whatnot. And I'm not saying that Americans are being killed by its political class, its leadership class. But I am saying that we're not exactly in a great position to be a moral authority or in humanity.
Not at all. I mean, but, you know, the people are not being killed by authorities, but people are being killed by the ones who want to represent the authorities, especially our people. So, like, you know, when you're saying that China don't want to send their people over here because of the shootings, I mean, you can't be mad at them. Even though if anything happened to a Chinese person, they still do have a whole nation with a billion-man army behind them. But, you know, it's but you made me think about the I was listening to NPR, and it's kind of off topic, but made me think about, I was listening to NPR this morning, it's talking about the election in Istanbul, how one person usurped the governor, but then they called false things or whatever, trying to say that the election was rigged and brought it back. But once again, following up what you said, we'll look at those things and shake our fingers and look down our nose at those nations while ignoring the fuck shit that America does.
Yeah, I mean,
just trying to act, or just even ignoring that America even did it.
Look at what just happened in Georgia with the governor's race, where the man that won the governor's race was the Secretary of State in charge of the elections, and there was documented and noted examples of voters not being allowed to vote and all these other things happening in Georgia. We go right here to North Carolina, right here near where I'm at in Charlotte, where there was an election result that was actually thrown out because it was found that one of the Republican candidates was taking blank ballots from people, and his, even if he wasn't aware, the people on his staff were telling people to just sign the ballot and give it to them, and they would fill it out. And so there was this whole woo-ha here in North Carolina about these ballots that Republicans were taking and filling out as all Republican tickets and turning in as if people had legitimately voted. It got so bad that in North Carolina, a heavily Republican state, they even had to throw out the election and have a redo. So, like, we're seeing the same shit happen here. It just ain't nobody willing to call America on our shit right. The same way we willing to call other countries on their shit.
What? Right, because you talk about all these other countries, especially the Islamic countries, with the things that's going on with terrorism. Like, this is this nuclear grave is terrorism.
Yeah,
this is direct terrorism. Like, you got a dome, and you place the it's a 328 foot crater that they were using in the late 1950s, and you seal it with like some 18-inch thick concrete dome, and you really don't really take care of it, and you just stuff stuff in there because you don't know what else to do with it, and you just leave it to other people. You can't talk about terrorism, people terrorizing their own people in other countries when America terrorizes their own people in other countries. And we do it better. America does it better. Now, one of the best things America does is use the media to further brainwash or distract people from the real thing that's going on. The emperor isn't wearing any clothes. And ain't nobody going to say nothing, though, even though we see the emperor not wearing clothes.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we at, man. And that's crazy. Like, we got to change this whole American system, this whole thing. Like, stuff got to be overthrown, man. And that just is what it is. Stuff has to be overthrown because our government full of shit, man. And a lot of these elected officials and people who go along with these things. I know back when this happened, a lot of these people are dead, but still government officials and people knew about this and didn't do anything.
Yeah, we got to do better. We definitely got to do better.
America ain't what people think it is. And I love when people from other countries get to America, realize the bullshit is going on, and be like, you know what? I'm going to take my head back home. But just want to bring you all up to speed on what's going on with the nuclear coffin. That's what they call it, nuclear coffin, that is leaking waste into the Pacific. And it's on the Marshall Islands, which is in, like, the Central and South Pacific, like you said, by Fiji. So, and if all y'all like to vacation those type of places, it's going to affect those places as well. So, yeah, think about that. But let's move on, man. Let's move on and talk about this Malia Davis situation. So before I really dove into the Malia Davis situation, I was, looking at things through, not really reading the full articles, but looking at people's comments and things through Facebook. And one of the first things that I saw people talking about was how you can't leave your child with anybody. So, as I was reading this and kind of got more information on the nature of the relationship between Malia Davis's mother and the guy, Darion Vince. So they were actually living together, and they had a child together. So they had a son. So she had like a younger brother from this dude, Darion Vince, living with Vance, and the mother had went out of town. And the reason why I say that, because the initial thing was, you can't leave your child with anybody, can't leave your child with boyfriends and things. And yes, I'm down, I'm agreeing with that. But one of the twists in this is he was kind of he was a boyfriend, but he was kind of more of the boyfriend because they had just had a child together. So with him having a child with the mother, that kind of makes that situation a bit different than just the dude that the mother's dating. What you think about that right there, just with that piece of it right there, for what I'm saying?
I mean, I do think it makes the situation different. But I don't know, people, the entire scenario you just presented, even the way people take it where you can't leave your kids with anybody, I think that's just people talking. And here's my beef when people say shit like that. I know a lot of parents that call Ubers for their kids. Yeah, you know, and I want people to really just sit back and think about what I said. I know a lot of people that call an Uber for their 12 and under child. I've seen people call Ubers for kids as young as 8, 9 years old. Like, let's really just think about what an Uber is. It's essentially a stranger in a vehicle. No background checks, no certifications, no qualifications, no accreditations, no training, no nothing. A stranger in a vehicle. And we're so, in this society, we're so comfortable and so nonchalant with it that we will put our kids unsupervised in these vehicles. But then when some shit like this happens, those same people who probably have just called an Uber for their kid to go to school will say, man, you can't leave your kids with nobody. And I know that's kind of off topic from where we're going, but
it's relevant, though.
So anyways, I agree with you. I think it changes it a little bit.
Yeah, that gives a little, that's a little different in that situation from just she dating Tony down the street and she leave the baby with Tony. Like, no, this was a dude like she was living with, like they all lived together. And she already had another baby from the guy. So
So he was closer to like stepdaddy.
Basically. So from what I read, surveillance tapes show the man and Malia going into his home. But they never saw Malia leave the home when Darion left, Darion Vince left. So they, from what I read, and everything I'm saying is from what I read from various articles, they saw Vince coming out of the apartment with, like, some clothes and a plastic bag, a black bag. So apparently Malia's body was in the bag. But he didn't do anything to the son. So the son is okay. So at one point they said Malia's biological father came over and was trying to get into the house to see Malia, but the boyfriend wouldn't let him in the house because he said Malia had the flu. He didn't want him to get sick. And then he said, about an hour after that, he was jumped, and the men took Malia. And then he said he walked to the hospital, but surveillance cameras saw him being dropped off at the hospital. And so that kind of, you know, after the investigation thing, that poked holes into the story. So basically her body was found in Arkansas. And he killed her, lied about it, and took the body and dumped it off in Arkansas. But then he confessed, allegedly confessed to activists, to civil rights activists, Quarnell X. And shout out to Quarnell for going off on the white folks on the TV shows like he be doing. That junk be funny. Sidebar. But he confessed to Quarnell X, and then that's where we get to where we are now, being able to find Malia's body in the bag that was in Arkansas. Now he's been arrested. And they're doing things that they need to do to get him arranged and prosecuted. But some people are, I was reading earlier, some people are badgering the mother, saying that it's her fault too. She did this wrong, she did that wrong. And the mother is still seen as a suspect by law enforcement. And at this time, you know, I understand the process. the mother would be looked at as a suspect at this time in the process. But I don't understand, especially if we don't have all the information. You can speculate all you want, but people who would go after the mother and call her an unfit mother, try to put her all on their social media accounts, putting the cameras in her face, phones in her face, and yelling at her and all these different things without real information.
No, and I can't rock with that. I can't. Well, go ahead.
I'm going to just read this. I'm sorry. Because it's going to go back to what you're saying. It said, Child Protective Services removed Malia and her brothers from the apartment Vance and Bowen's shared in August after the girl suffered a head wound. That said Vance, right? So she suffered a head wound, but the children were returned in February by the courts, according to an agency spokesperson. After a canceled court appearance by Vance on May 13, Bowens was heckled outside the courtroom by people who questioned if she had done enough to protect her daughter before her disappearance. So go ahead with what you were saying about that.
But what else was she supposed to do? Like, okay, maybe I'm unclear about, because I don't understand how you can come at the mother with the information we have available. The dude that ended up killing the daughter was her boyfriend who she had just had a baby by.
Right.
And they were all living together. So essentially he was stepdad. Am I understanding that right?
Basically.
So if you have a baby with somebody and you living with them, you typically don't expect them to kill your other children. So
right.
I'm kind of like, how can we sit here and say that she should have done more to protect her baby? Now, I'm not saying she's blameless in everything. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that I don't see where she could have done more to protect her baby outside of maybe pre-screening the dude a little bit better. But even that's a stretch, because you just don't know what kind of dude he presented himself to be. So I just don't know. I'm trying to figure out how we could say this is the mom's fault, especially in light of you motherfuckers being okay with getting in the goddamn Uber.
Yeah.
So am I missing something, Joe?
No, I mean, it's a lot of people with opinions who, since they have these sounding boards to give their opinions, and people have always done stuff like this in the past, but you people do it face-to-face, people do it use their sounding boards, a.k.a. social media. So, like we said earlier, I don't think right now we can't say the mother did something wrong, because it's like dude was stepdad. He wasn't officially stepdad, but dude was stepdad. So it's not like the mother just left her daughter with anybody. She left the daughter with the dude that was living in the house with her and the daughter and the son.
Right. Somebody she thought she could trust.
Right. Now, apparently she couldn't trust him because he turned out to do this. But then another question, well, why would he do this to Malia and not the son? Now, that would be my question.
Well, you know, everybody is an expert in hindsight. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's easy to see how shit went bad and project that back. But unless you got evidence that she helped the dude kill her daughter, or she knew that dude had plans to kill her daughter and she just didn't do or say shit, like, unless you got something like that, you need to shut the fuck up. I mean, this woman just lost her daughter. And we don't have any real indication that she was a part of it. So
right.
If this woman just lost her daughter to the man that she was with, the man that she has a baby by, they put that, wear that as well. Not only did she lose her daughter, but her daughter was killed by the man that she has a baby by. Meaning that every time she look at her other kid from now on, she going to see the face of the man that killed her daughter.
Right.
So right. Not only is she dealing with all of that shit, but she got to deal with motherfuckers on social media and everywhere with no real proof saying that it's her fault that her daughter died?
Yeah, but it's a lot of times it be people who are trying to make themselves feel good and trying to be the superior parent, kind of like what we talk about in the conscious community about somebody wanting to be the blackest in the room. But these people want to be the greatest parents on earth. But you know, if you pull back the covers on them, you can see a lot of cracks in their foundation as well. But I just that's just ignorant to me. In a way, it's a waste of time. Like, let's stop wasting time on things that we're just speculating. And I hate when people will act like they have, like they know the answer and they have the details. Like, let's focus on this dude. Let's focus on him. Let's focus on Vince. Let's not focus on the mother as of yet until we find more information to say she fucked up.
Right.
But let me read this to you by Vince. It says the 27-year-old had claimed he, Malia, and his 2-year-old son were abducted by a group of four men in the truck, because they say he jumped them and took the kids. Now, this is my first time reading this particular part. He said he and his son were freed the next day, but the kidnappers kept Malia and his silver Nissan. Come on, boy. Like, dudes, a lot of these dudes are horrible liars. Horrible liars. Horrible. Like, that's all you, that's really all, that's the best you can come up with, bro. Like, for real? Like, you guilty as hell, man. With that, like, that doesn't help your argument. And there's some real fuck shit, man. Some real fuck shit of this whole situation that's going on. Going back to what they're talking about, I mean, America ain't the greatest country. We got stuff like this has happened, but I guess one of the biggest issues with this is it's within our community. Like, this little girl didn't do anything to nobody.
So we don't even know why she died or why he killed her.
Right. All we know is that she's dead, and it's not cool. It's not. This whole situation isn't cool. I hope he get everything he asking for and more. Everything he deserves, rather, and more. Because nah, man, you can't. Come on, man. Really, bro? Like, for real? This young little innocent girl who can't defend herself, and you want to kill her, then dump the body off, and then lie about it?
Yeah.
Dudes always be gangster till it's time to pay the price. It's so unfortunate, man. That's the biggest thing. It's so unfortunate that this young girl had to lose her life in this messed up manner from some bitch ass dude, man. And then, all right, so the question is, how are you able to tell when a person is psychotic like this? Like, what are the signs of a psychotic-ass person?
I mean, if we're being totally honest, from all of my studying of psychology and all my classes, coursework, and all that other stuff, somebody that's truly, truly psychotic, like a true sociopath, somebody that's truly disconnected, the average person can't tell, because they've mastered the art of simulating emotions, of emulating emotions. So they might not actually feel nothing, but they know that they're supposed to, and they know what you're looking for. So they'll give you what you're looking for. Unless you've been trained, and most of us haven't, you aren't going to be able to tell the difference. You're not. And that's the part where we got to be real with ourselves. There's a lot of people out here like, no, I could tell the difference. No, you can't. You can't even tell if a woman really want to have sex with you or not.
But it's like, once again, go back to, everybody becomes an expert on things that they don't really know about. So I guess because they watch these certain TV shows and all these things, that doesn't make you a damn expert at this. So it's like, There's that. How was the mother supposed to know that this dude was fucked up like this? Like
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Like what test do you do? Like unless you send this person to some kind of psychiatrist or something, or somebody who can sit down and really evaluate them, who's trained. The average untrained person doesn't know. So you can't just be like, "Well, she messed up."
No, you can't put this on her until you find out. Until you find out that she actually had a role to play in it. I mean, we talk
right.
all the time about all of these people out here who are constantly choosing bad partners. You know, we talk all the time about, well, why are you? And a lot of people be like, well, it's different between picking a liar and picking a murderer. It's really not.
How do you know if you pick either a liar or a murderer?
Well, one, you accept the fact that a murderer is also a liar. So if you can't pick out, like, it's really not that much of a stretch when you see these dudes out here, these women walking around here in the oversized shades because they do them punch them in the face. You know, you got these dudes who go home, get mad, and treat their wives like Andy Ruiz treated Anthony Joshua. You know, like, you can't, and they couldn't tell when they first found out all this domestic violence. If you could tell that a person was warped, we wouldn't have domestic violence situations. We wouldn't have sexual violence and all these other situations because everybody would be able to pick out, okay, this is the warped motherfucker. I'm going to just stay away from
man,
you.
Man, a lot of these people can't even discern between somebody who's going to cheat on them or not. So,
right.
Basic stuff.
Right. I mean, and you got all these people nowadays who won't even leave their spouse alone with their best friend because they don't trust one of the two. So you can't even pick somebody that's gonna keep their dick in their pants so that ain't gonna slip and fall on somebody else's dick. But you like
right.
So we just gotta be real with ourselves. You can't read any more than a person is willing to let you read, and that's the
right.
truth of the matter.
Right.
Now that
right.
once you find out the truth, you know, or Mr. Eddie used to tell me when I worked at the Central Pharmacy, when the person tell you who they are, believe them. Believe
right.
them. But we
right.
don't know if he told this lady, hey, I'm a murderer and I'm getting ready to murder your daughter. We don't know that.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, until we get evidence that can show that the mother knew what was going on and kind of played a part in it. And we can't really jump on her. You can't say she's an unfit mother. Can't say she made bad decisions. The dude was living with her. Now, if the information come out, then you can go in on her. But for right now, you got to focus on Vance and the fucked up shit that he had going on.
And let's also think about, the argument from a social aspect. On the one end, we can't say that mothers will do anything for their children, and mothers love their children, and mothers this, and mothers that, and mothers this, and mothers that. And then on the other end, say that mothers will help somebody kill their children. Now, we know that we can't use generalities in any spectrum. But in these situations like this, it strains the whole narrative. Because on the one hand, you have all these women saying that, all of these women and people, because I'm one of them too, that says mothers are some of the most selfless people on the planet. But anytime anything happens to a kid, everybody directly goes after the mother in these types of situations. Well, the mother shouldn't have been doing this. Well, the mother shouldn't have been doing that. Where was your mom at? This, that, and the third. Well, sometimes shit just happened. And this seemed like one of them times where, okay, we can all agree. I don't think this is beating up on the mother. Hindsight 2020, we can all agree. She made a pretty bad decision for dudes to be with. That being said, it's not her fault that the dude ended up being such a monster that he would kill her daughter.
Yeah. I mean, you have to look at it. She's a bad one, but it's not her. Once again, echoing what you said, it's not her fault that he's a fuck boy like that. So. Like, how do you know you chose a damn psycho like that? You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man. You said the other day when we were talking about the R. Kelly situation, and women was all on the teenage girls, and it was like, yeah, but you 40, and you still letting dudes play you. Like, it's kind of the same scenario, but that goes back to what you've been saying this whole conversation. You know, everybody thinks they're overqualified and they're able to discern. Fuck shit.
No, you can't. If so, we wouldn't have half the crime and stuff that we have in America. If people were that good, if people were that trained, we wouldn't have half this bullshit. But we have it. Does that mean people don't know?
No, I'm not with blaming the mother. Not right now. Now, if some evidence comes out to suggest that maybe the mother has something to do with it, all right, then I can go there with you. But right now, based off what we know, what I've heard, what I've listened to, I can't say that this woman is to blame for her baby daddy killing her daughter. That, and to even blame her sounds like some fuckboy pussyhole shit.
I mean, let's do let the police and let the trained people do their investigation. And you know, if you want to do your armchair investigations, you can. But we still have to. You can't take her completely off the table, but she shouldn't be the main course that people are trying to go after. It's Vince. Go after him. He messed up. He did what's wrong. Well, for what we know so far, he's the reason why why Malia Davis is dead. He's the reason. But we ain't gonna beat that dead horse no more. It's so sad, man. It's so sad. One more thing. You know, people will come out and say, we gotta protect our women. Yes, we do have to protect our women. We do have to protect our women. But we not. We still not, though. But we still not. So are we going to stay in the phase, or are we just talking about it? Or are we going to actually start doing things different to really protect our women? But let's expand that. Let's protect the members of our community. Because we have a lot of helpless young boys and a lot of helpless old men. Some men, you know, everybody's not in a position to defend themselves just because you're a male. So let's protect the members of our community. But let's not take the focus off our women, though. Let's make sure we protect our women, but also protect all the members of our community. Because you need both sides to thrive. So, but you can't just keep talking. All right, so our last topic is getting down with the Gilead Sciences and the hashtag break the patent debate that's going on. And Pat, so you used to work in the Central Pharmacy, so you were familiar with pharmaceutical processes and getting drugs out.
Somewhat.
And, you know, well, let me ask this. How familiar are you with the manufacturing and the development of these specific drugs from your time working in the Central Pharmacy here in Florida?
Well, my time working with the Central Pharmacy in Florida it wasn't so much about manufacturing the drugs as it was about dispensing the drugs to the proper facilities, CHDs, with county health departments, and prison facilities. But during that process, I got to talk with a lot of pharmacists. We obviously got to meet with a lot of sales reps from pharmaceutical manufacturing companies, and I've actually done quite a bit of reading on the process itself. Actually, Lessons from the Screen on Thursday will be about Bottle of Lies, which is this book that talks about some of the issues with the FDA approval process for generic medications. So I can try to answer your question. Go ahead and shoot it.
But, all right, so as I said in the opening, I've read several articles. Some say the CDC created the patent, and one article said the government created the patent. But either way, the patent
for
was
what?
Created for Truvada, for the Truvada, for the
okay.
PrEP, for the pre-exposure prophylaxis. So, but the patent and the manufacturing and all that stuff to go into making the drug happen. The drug, all of that was created with taxpayer money. So I think recently Gilead was forced to release a generic version to the world, and they at one point they are giving away free drugs to certain people in certain places. With them, they have a monopoly on the patent, and the drug costs between $6 to $8 to manufacture, but they're selling it in the U.S. and other places where the government have accepted these particular patents. The drug can be as much as $2,000 to $3,000, but it costs $8 to manufacture. And this one part I'm reading, it says it could cost between $1,500 a month or $18,000 a year. But they expected like 1.2 million people to be on PrEP, and that many people aren't on PrEP. They're not on the Truvada. But it costs too much for people to be able to buy the drug in America, and then specifically in America. And other places you can get the drug like cheap, and not even a generic version, but that you can get the actual Truvada cheap in other places in other countries. And this conglomerate or this monopoly that Gilead has on the patents is crazy, because they're really overcharging for the drug. So they got one patent number 664-2245, which will expire in November of 2020, and then they have patent 670-3396, will expire March 2021. And one of the main things that PrEP does is a reverse transcriptase blocker, which means it reverses the process of HIV converting a normal CD4 T cell into a HIV cell. So that's one of the main functions of PrEP and Truvada. And it's go back to United States on that bullshit, because the pharmaceutical industry and Gilead specifically Gilead specifically is the only pharmaceutical company who's really benefiting off this. But like I said, a generic version does exist, and a generic version was given out. And in some places, in some instances, Gilead was forced to give away free Truvada. And I think in some places they're giving away free generic version as well. So it's crazy. So let me read this, because there's something called a 340B drug pricing program, and that's like government-regulated, federal government-regulated price list to different pharmacies, different places where they can give drugs to specific people who go through these specific agencies and these companies and these healthcare facilities and meet all the requirements to get drugs at a reduced price. And it's still like for a lot of people, it's still a lot of money. Like, because in my office, a lot of we've prescribed PrEP for a lot of people, and you have to fill out this form and fill out this form and fill out this form, and then the insurance, like even if they're part of this 340B drug program, like insurance companies and things, they have to pay for the drug. So Gilead is still getting rich off of the drug. I think they say they made $2 or $3 billion off of it, and the drug it costs too much for people to buy. And for me, it's a lot of things going on with this, because not only does the drug cost too much for people to buy, but there's also like seem like a dependency has been created around the drug, which is almost eliminating the human element for people to make sure that they take the proper precautions to be safe in having sex. So there are a lot of things that are going on with this. That's one of the reasons why I want to talk about this, because for me, as a person who does HIV prevention, it's a lot bigger than just the cost, because it's the whole idea around Truvada and PrEP that have people, you know, going all up in arms. So I read a lot of information on a daily basis through one of my Facebook pages that I have through work about different people getting on prep and using prep. Because prep can be good if used proper. But if not, you're going to have issues. And then on one end, you got a lot of people who are trying to sue Gilead, well, Gilead specifically, for the side effects that prep causes. But when they give you the drug, they tell you about the side effects and things like that. So it's really the Break the Patent campaign, the Break the Patent movement is so Gilead won't have a monopoly on the patent for Truvada, and it'll become more affordable and more accessible for people who are deemed sexually high risk to be able to use PrEP. And remember, PrEP is for people who are HIV negative. If you're positive, you're not going to use PrEP. So PrEP is for people who are HIV negative, who have high-risk sexual behavior, to help prevent them from contracting HIV. So that's what's going on in a nutshell with this. So, you know, from your central pharmacy experience, care to elaborate or give more thoughts on it?
I think you spoke on a couple different things. For one, back when I was working with the Central Pharmacy, this is 2011, 2012. So we were giving out Truvada and Atripla and a couple other HIV medications to prisoners. But this was prior to Truvada being recognized by the CDC as prevention for HIV, because that didn't happen until, I want to say, 2014, 2015, I think it was.
Truvada was approved in 2012, and that's when I first heard about it and first started getting more information and hearing people talk about Truvada.
Well, I know it was after I was first exposed to Truvada and the Atripla and a couple of the other drugs. I know it was after that, because I know what I was saying was I know there was an uptick once it was recognized as a prevention medication. All of a sudden, we started dispensing a lot more Truvada than we had been previously.
Right.
And so, yeah, you're probably right. I'm thinking 2014, 2015, but obviously you're right. You know your stuff. So 2012 is probably when it actually went down. But I said that to say this. Truvada was already somewhat in existence when the CDC scientists made the determination that they did. So there's a patent issue where the CDC scientists have a patent on the drug being used to prevent HIV transmission. And then there's a separate patent for each of the drugs individually. And then I think there were more patents issued in late 2015, 2016, somewhere around in there after it had already been recognized. So there's a bunch of different patent claims on the I believe Truvada is it's three drugs, right?
It's a two-drug combination.
It's two drugs.
Tenofovir and I can't say this, but M. Trissy Tybine, Tybine or something, but I know Tenofovir.
Okay. There's a couple different patent issues on the two drugs that compose Truvada. Now, so that's one issue. The other issue is the way that the FDA works. After a drug is cleared, after the patent runs out, they have basically, without getting into terminology, they have a first-to-file format where a generic can be launched, but the company that the FDA gives those rights to have exclusive rights for at least 6 months, where they're the only person that can create a generic. And so that's the area we're running into now. And typically, during that period, the generic company makes a shitload of money because they're the only people allowed to make generics, and they can undercut the price of the brand.
Right.
So that's a separate issue, in my opinion, because the generic drug and the brand drug are not the same drug. And I think that's something that we don't really think about. The generic drug is a drug that has to be the biochemical equivalent of the brand drug, meaning right. that it has to essentially do the same thing in the body
right.
in the same way as the brand drug, but it's not the same. It's not created in the same process as the brand drug. So it's a different. It's a different chemical formula being put together to make this drug. So that comes into a different argument, which kind of sits off to a side when you start talking about generics versus brand as a whole. Now, I do agree, brands simply charge too much. I understand that the pills they sell, every drug that they sell has to cover the research and development cost. They have to cover the strict CGMP requirements they have, current good manufacturing practices, projects that they have, our processes and regulations and things that they have to stand by. All of these things add cost to a drug. That being said, this is where I go back to the pharmaceutical industry and the healthcare industry as a whole are two sectors that I feel like should not exist. You should not be able to profit off another person's pain, suffering, or livelihood, or, you know, need to survive, period.
Especially if it was taxpayer money that was used to do the research and develop it as well.
And so, and right, and that's another problem when you, and so that comes into the CDC scientists who were the ones that determined that the drugs that are in Truvada could be used to prevent HIV transmission. But that's where you run into this problem of, okay, does that discovery about the combined effects of these two drugs supersede the other patents that these drugs have on their own? Are, you know, is there some sort of patent on the actual process used to combine these drugs in a way that prevents HIV transmission that doesn't affect a process that could be used to do something else with the drug? So you run into all of these various different arguments with the patent claim that I can't get into because I don't know enough about the dynamics of what's going on with the various different patent aspects. But I can say from standpoint of the FDA generic drugs versus brand drugs, that's something that needs to be talked at and talked about and looked at closely, because a lot of times we praise brand drugs for being cheaper. And I'm reading this book right now called Bottle of Lies, and I've had my own experiences about where generic drugs have not done what they were supposed to do, and brand drugs were brought in, and they ended up working out just fine. Obviously, there's a problem. You know, some of the generic drugs, the costs are so low that they have to be cutting corners to produce the drug the way they're producing the drug. But that's a separate conversation. I think this conversation, for me, centers around the fact that these brands charge entirely too much money. I understand you got to recoup the losses for research. I understand you got to recoup the losses that you experience on a daily basis by agreeing with regulations. But there is no reason why these drugs should cost so much that people can't afford to get the medications they need to survive. I think the government should step in.
My bad, not to cut you off, but people have to go through a middleman to get the drug. It costs between $6 to $8 to manufacture. But I have to go through a middleman to get the drug because I can't afford the drug on my own.
Right.
And I have to be eligible, too.
And it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, if I don't have certain insurance requirements and things, if I have a certain insurance, some of these things could leave me ineligible. But now, I do want to let people know, with PrEP, a pre-exposure prophylaxis, going back to one of the things I said earlier, PrEP is a good drug if used properly. First of all, in conjunction with consistent condom use. But one of the things that come to my mind in this discussion that we had in my office about this is people are still too dependent upon PrEP to keep them safe from HIV, because a lot of people, and I'm not saying everybody, but there, and let me not even say a lot of people, but there are a number of people who are taking PrEP, and to them, they don't have to protect themselves. They don't have to have protected sex because they're taking PrEP. But PrEP only stops the transmission of HIV. And matter of fact, it specifically blocks, like I said earlier, it specifically blocks the process of reverse transcriptase. So it's like a nucleotide reverse transcriptase blocker. It inhibits that. It inhibits the HIV cells from turning your white blood cells into HIV cells. So the HIV cell will still attach itself to the white blood cell. It just can't turn this cell into an HIV cell. So the cell really isn't damaged to that manner, to that degree. And I wouldn't even say the cell is pretty much damaged. It is just HIV will be attached to it. But the human element, human behavior should never be put on the back burner. If I do what I need to do to protect myself, I don't have to contract HIV, because it's like, you got to think about it. You have to go out here and be protecting yourself as if PrEP doesn't exist, because you could bankrupt Gilead. You can really bankrupt Gilead by safe sexual behavior, but Gilead is banking off of the wild sexual behavior, or the not caring about the protecting themselves. Gilead is banking off that because they understand the behavior. Trust me, some of that research went into people's sexual behavior, the sexual patterns, and they know that there's a lot of people around the world who are engaging in unsafe sexual practices. Now, PrEP is mainly designed for, when they talk about sexual risky behavior, what they call HIV discordant couples, when one person is positive and one person is negative. But then you have a lot of people who are, like, I was reading this, it was in my office, and was reading this Facebook post, and yes, it was in Germany, and I think I said this on a show before in the past, probably like a year or so ago, but it was in Germany, but the men were, their question was, how many times can somebody come inside of me before PrEP don't work no more? That's ignorance and irresponsible. So I'm not saying this to take any onus away from the bullshit that Gilead is doing. But what I am saying is, if PrEP didn't exist, you still got to protect yourself.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Gilead made $3 billion. I did just look this up. Gilead made $3 billion last year off Truvada, and $2.6 billion of that was right here in the United States.
Right, and I think that was over, what, like a 15-month period or something like that, probably
anyway,
more?
It says last year. That's all it says. So I'm assuming that's the last calendar year, which $3 billion in a 12-month span is amazing, especially off one drug.
It is. For the price of it.
And so, but that goes back to, I think the only point that can be made by me without knowing where all of the stuff with the patents lie, because I know that Truvada and the drugs and all of that was around before the CDC patent. I know that the drug was already being used before the CDC patented it. But the only argument that really I think is even important or significant to be made is the fact that there needs to be a cap on how much pharmaceutical companies can charge for medications. There needs to be an upper limit to it, because they don't pay. They charge, and this is the misconception. People often think that a free market society, people will charge what the consumer is willing to pay. That's not an individual assessment of the way the economy works. People will charge whatever the market will bear. That means that if you can't pay as an individual, but enough people in the market will pay that will make it profitable for me, I don't care that you as an individual can't pay, because there are enough other people that can and will pay to make it worth my while to charge this price, get this extra profit, and let you die. So,
But
go ahead.
But especially if you're in bed with the insurance companies.
Well, the insurance industry is another sector that I feel like should not exist.
Well, because for a lot of the people who we see that are on PrEP, they can't pay for this. They can't pay for it. So it's the middleman with the insurance companies who are paying for this. So the insurance companies are getting money, as well as Gilead right now is getting money from it. But like, it's paperwork and a process that have to go, and you know, it's happening. Like, the monopoly is real, and that's why the Break the Patent campaign is out there. So because they're really trying to break this monopoly up. But the ball is in motion for this monopoly to be broken up, because, like I say, Gilead's giving out free Truvada, and then you have the generic version being developed. But it's like a lot of the damage has still been done, or a lot of the money has been made by Gilead. Now, of course, like the amount of money that they're making moving forward is going to slow down. But they say the thing that broke this open was when Truvada dropped that when Gilead dropped the Truvada commercial doing a showing of Rent. I don't know what station, I don't know what time or when it was out, but they were showing the musical Rent, and they dropped the Truvada commercial. And so that sparked a lot of people. It's like, what the hell?
I'm not, I do know the drug costs too much. I don't know that the U.S., because I read something that said taxpayers paid the bulk of the price for the development of Truvada. I don't know how true that is. And that's just me being honest. I really don't know how true that is.
I'm just going off of what I read.
Statistics to back it up.
Right, because, the one I read said that taxpayers paid 100% of the cost to develop it.
Yeah, one that I'm reading right here from the Break the Patent website, it just says that the U.S. taxpayers have paid for almost the full cost of its development.
Right,
but again, I don't know if they're talking about through grants to Gilead or if they're talking about the CDC itself, because again, Truvada existed before the CDC patent. So without anybody explaining to us how they're making that statement, where the money came from, we don't know. But I will say this. Even without the Break the Patent movement focusing only on Truvada, we have an issue with pharmaceutical drug prices. We and that needs to be tackled. And we see cases after cases of it. And I'm going to say this as well. Generics can be the answer, but we need to make sure that we understand that a generic is not the brand. We also need to make sure that we understand the total price that goes into producing the drug. I understand to an extent why the drug costs $6 to produce, why Gilead would charge more than $6 for the drug. One, you got basic profit margins, but also, like I said earlier, you got to pay for research and development and all that other stuff. All that's got to come in the back end. So I get that, but there is no understandable reason why a drug would go from being $10 a pill or $10 or $20 a month for a monthly dose to being over $1,500 to $2,000 a month for a monthly dose. And we've seen this not just with Truvada, but we've seen this with countless other pills, from blood medications to even stuff as common as EpiPens. There was a period where we saw the cost of EpiPens jump by more than 1,000% within, I believe it was, a 6 to 8 month period. Like, EpiPens, really? there needs to be a cap on how much these companies could charge. Preferably, this wouldn't even be a public thing, like, or a private thing. I feel like in these situations, and I know people hate big government, I would rather have a public official or somebody who is beholden to the public, truly beholden to the public, being concerned with health care than somebody that's just trying to make a bunch of money. That's just
me. Yeah, because, like, you know, like you say, a profit has to be made. But you don't, it don't have to, the cost of it don't have to be like 35,000 times higher than the actual manufacturing price. If it costs $8 to manufacture, you know, you could charge $30 for the pill. Something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
if it costs $5 or $6 to make the drug, I would be okay with you charging, you know, $20, $30. I would, and some people would be like, that's still too much. Honestly, I think I would be okay with that, depending on the drug. Life-saving drugs that people need to survive, I feel like, should be as cheap as possible, period. Like, we shouldn't even be considering profit. If somebody needs this shit to survive, especially through no fault of their own, like, you got all these people developing, like, stuff like leukemia and all these other things, it's not their fault. They didn't do it. They, you know, they could have done everything right. They just slipped. You know, just had a fucked up situation.
Right.
I think those drugs should be as cheap as humanly possible. Some of the other drugs, you know, I'm okay with $20, $30 a pop. But are you know, $20 or $30, you know, two or three times the production cost, the cost to actually make the drug. I'm okay with that. But a million, you know, like thousands and thousands of percent, like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times production cost, 20, 30, 40, 100 times, 1,000 times production cost, bruh, that'd be like going to the barber and him charging you $5,000 for a haircut.
Right. I mean, you know, it don't cost that much for no haircut.
No.
You just overcharged me because you can. I mean, and really that was the thing. Like, they had no competition. It wasn't really like nobody was really paying attention at that time. So they were getting away with it, and nobody even really thought about it until certain people, certain activists saw what was going on with the drug. Well, via the commercial. When the commercial came out, I was like, hey, hold on.
But, bruh, what you just said is why I have a problem with the pharmaceutical industry, for-profit industry. These brands, especially while they're in the patent period, the company has exclusive rights to produce and sell the drugs. There's no competition in the pharmaceutical industry except for the competition to create a new drug. Once you create a new drug, nobody else can create that drug until your patent runs out. And even when your patent runs out, they still can't use the same process you used to create the drug, which means even generic scientists have to do research and development, because they have to reverse engineer your drug and then find a new way to engineer it. And even for that, after your patent runs out, the generic company has exclusive rights. There is no competition in this industry, so there is no reason why, once a drug is developed, for you to be charging these types of prices.
That's real, though. I mean, it's crazy, man.
You
own
the market.
Crazy. Yeah. So.
Anyways. I know we've been on for a while.
Yeah, but, you know, I know we have the tag, "This is America," but we can't just keep saying that and going to bed.
Right.
So we have to say, all right, this is America. Let's change this America. Because we just gave you 3 fucked up stories in America and how it really affects the everyday person. the nuclear waste is going to affect everyday people, not just in America, but around the world. I hope we don't have any more situations like what happened with Malia Davis, but the unfortunate thing is she's just one of the ones that we know about.
Right.
That's the unfortunate. And then the drug monopoly. We already know about the greed with the pharmaceutical companies and all these things that's happening. So let's not just say this is America. Let's make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do to change the America that we live in so we can have a brighter future for our youth to not live in such a fucked up world. Go right. Fuck the country too. So, you know, any parting shots, man?
Yeah, actually, so sometimes I just scroll through Google Maps and zoom in on random shit.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was scrolling in to the United States, it's a place right off Wild Horse Island on the Flathead Reservation, north of Washington State. In Montana, there is a lake, a dried up lake bed there called Loon Lake. And this is why I do this. Because every now and then you'll see funny stuff carved into the land. So this is like a dried up, look like a dried up lake, a dirt pit. And somebody rolling sand large enough for you to see it, zooming into Google Maps. We love you too. Welcome home always. And I was like, that's funny. Who took time to draw this in the sand so big that you could...
Love you, too.
Love you, too. Love you, T-W-O-T-O-O. Love you, too, !! Heart. Welcome home, always, !! So, anyways, I thought that was cool. Power to the people.
Power to the people. Hey, man, remember the Freedom Train app is available in the Google Play Store, and it's also available... Is it available in the Apple Store too, right? Or just Google?
Just Google.
Okay, just
still
Google so far.
Still ain't cracked into the Apple yet.
So all the cool Android people, you can get the app there. Remember, you can support The Fix on Patreon, patreon.com/TheFix. You can also support Lessons from the Screen, patreon.com, LFTS. Make sure you catch the episode of Lessons from the Screen tomorrow. And let's do more than talk. Let's take action. Remember, visit our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. And we'll catch y'all on the flip side. Two fingers in the air like a player that you just don't care. Guess what? We out of here. Peace out.